Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Our 2018 Year in Review Special, Part 1 of 2.
Woo!
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always,
is Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Cat in Hat.
Yay! With matching shirt, sort of.
All right, so we're going to go over a little bit of rules of how this works. First and foremost, this is our favorites of 2018, not the best ofs. There may be situations in categories where we feel, you know what, something might be better. Didn't enjoy it much, though. So that's how that goes. If you have differing opinions, awesome. Let's talk about them. I would love to have conversations with our listeners about what their favorites were. Leave comments with things. Tell us how absolutely wrong we are in certain categories. But the bigger point is to have a good discussion and have a lot of fun. You know, we are going to celebrate the end of this year. We do have 3 honorable mentions each that we've split amongst the 2 episodes. What that means is if we could not decide what our favorite TV show was, we can add a 4th slot in that category, but then we only have 2 honorable mentions over the rest of the 2 shows. That is for each one of us, so you'll get some surprises where maybe somebody has a category of 6, maybe somebody has a category of 5. But with that said, we are gonna jump right into it, and we're going to start with our favorite TV show.
Yay! I actually have an honorable mention right off the bat here. For our favorite TV show, Atlanta Season 2 this year, created by Donald Glover. That show just continues to just amaze and awe me. And I'm a little biased coming from Atlanta myself, but
only a little bit.
Yeah, just a wee bit. But it needed to be on my list somewhere, because whatever happened, that's just... I'm so sad right now. I can't wait till Season 3 comes.
Nothing will make me laugh.
Right. Exactly. Or, like, just gape and, like, aw, like, what is happening here? Why is Justin Bieber black in this universe?
I don't even know how to comment on that.
That's exactly.
That's the surrealism.
That's
of
the tagline of that show, Atlanta. I don't even know how to comment on that.
Give me all the awards, but I don't know how to comment.
Yeah. Anyway, why don't you take it from your cat?
All right, so I've got my number three is actually Titans.
What about, you don't have an honorable mention in this one?
What's the next one?
Number 3 is Titans.
Whoa.
Okay, so what changed?
Because, dear viewers at home, up until about 2 weeks ago, Kat was very strongly meh about the show.
Because I hit that lull point, because it was like that weird build-up and then the lull. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh. I could feel the lull in the episode before the lull, so I was
episode like 4 or 5-ish, something
like that. I think it's episode 6. I think episode 4 is Doom Patrol. And
So it's 5 and 6.
I'm pretty
then,
sure
then,
it was 6, because I could feel the lull. And then they hit 7, and I'm like, whoa.
I think the moment they hit Donna Troy, I'm like, wow!
After that, I was like, this is great. Is she not in this show forever?
Yeah, right?
And then, hopefully. Of course, Hank's backstory.
I technically haven't finished it yet, because I forgot about it. I've been busy.
Probably 1 episode. Maybe,
yeah, it's the last one.
Yeah. Cool. Wow, interesting.
I loved Titans. That was a fantastic show. And
surprise.
Maybe. Yeah, definitely.
You also have to realize how much TV I don't watch.
Yeah. I know, it's funny to say that the 2 favorite TV show, and like, none of this aired on TV. Like, all my entire list is from streaming services. So, like, that's...
Yes, for me, too.
Episodic film,
right.
Let's call it.
Yeah, I watched...
Short format storytelling on the visual device.
Short/interconnected. Yeah.
The other 2 I technically have are TV.
Okay.
So.
All right, cool. Well,
all right. Well, my number 3 is The Dragon Prince.
Whoa. So good.
I was just blown away by the animation itself. I thought that I hadn't seen... the 3D, 4, 2D done in this way before. I thought that the world was completely well developed and that there was this sense that there was more coming and that there had been more before. And I love that world building. Great high fantasy. It was awesome to see elves and like the best magic ever put on film/TV.
Dude, I know, right?
So cool.
So. Like, well, of course that's a water spell. Look exactly. What's happening.
All right, Pat, what's your number 3?
Oh, man. Number 3 for me was kind of a surprise to myself, but this is South Park season 22.
Yes!
creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone. I don't know how they're become even more relevant. Like, two seasons ago was probably one of the worst seasons ever. Last season was alright, but this season is some of the most poignant social political commentary
I've seen. Whole thing is, we are going to balls to the wall because their whole thing is their hashtag. The whole season is cancel South Park.
Yeah. They're like, well, if you still want us around, we're just going to do the most ridiculous stuff ever. And like, even their marketing campaign is like thematically tied into the season of like neoliberalism, basically, which is like. Sorry, I'm not gonna get into that whole like, this whole idea.
We'll just watch it.
Yeah.
Are you high?
It's funny, no. And also it has some of the most biting like social commentary.
I will say this, if Colorado doesn't see something come up that's Tegrity weed, I'd be a little disappointed with it next year.
I'm gonna have to look that one up.
yeah, you are. Right?
Cool. Alright, Kat, what do you have next for us?
So, for me, my number two was Riverdale Season 3. I love Riverdale so much. I can't not watch it. Now we're in the weird realm of the cult.
You are definitely in odd pop culture right now.
Just judging you just a little bit for that one. Maybe a lot of bit, but...
I love it so much. I can't not watch it. Like, they did one episode where they actually go back in time and they do the parent stories, and they all look like they tried to dress them like they would in the 80s, like the parents were like what the hell, the dude who plays Archie, they had his natural hair color and he looked like Luke Perry. It was hilarious.
That's weird. That's super weird.
It was great, and I loved every moment of it.
Alright, Matt, how about you?
Alright, my number two favorite TV show is Hilda. You have one higher?
I do. I have that as my number one
spot. All right. So why don't we move to your number two then?
My number two was BoJack Horseman season 5. And once again, I thought this show was kind of in a lull after last season. And then it hit even harder than ever. Especially like, oh man, it destroyed itself. Like, it's a nightmarish, like candy-colored, anthropomorphic sort of... Like, the whole thing is, like, he's filming a show, like, a detective show, but, like, the set is, like, exactly like his house, and he walks around in, like, outfit every day, so it'll be, like... He's, like... And he's, like, taking opioids and stuff like that, and just, like... I don't know. It's, like... It's hilarious, and it's, like, even darker than I've ever seen BoJack get. Which is like saying something if you've ever watched BoJack Horseman.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Same dude. He's the same guy who voices Lego Batman, isn't it?
Yeah, Will Arnett.
Oh, is it? I didn't realize that was Will Arnett.
Yeah, it is. I recognize
him. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch that show and separate the two. Like,
I had a hard time watching Lego Batman and separating him from it.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Imagining Batman as a washed-up 90s sitcom actor.
It fits in the Lego universe.
It does, actually, like, way too well.
God, that's why they picked him.
All right, cool. Kat, do you want to lead us with the first number one of the show?
I feel like I'm going to be judged again, but it is what it is.
We're always judging each other.
If there's one show that every week when I'm getting ready to sit and kind of watch my TV for the week, it's... I always go and find Flash season 5.
Oh!
And I will say, honestly, probably what did it was, like, their introduction of their daughter and the fact that... I don't know if I've talked about it, like, on air before, but she's gay. And the whole thing of it was, so the bad guy was flirting with her. Iris caught it. They're, like, in a van spying on them. And so she gets... You can see her getting visibly irritated. I'm like... Wait a minute. And then she's like, I'm gonna go. She's like, where are you going? She's like, she's flirting with our daughter. And Barry sits there and he's like, oh. And it hasn't been brought up since. And I was like, that is how you make me happy when you announce someone's sexuality. You literally make it nothing and it's perfect and it's awesome. And also, the whole season's been really good so far. But, I mean, I was really surprised. I just kind of started watching it, and I was like, wow, this is actually really, really good, especially since I think the last season wasn't as good. So, I don't know. That's, like, the one TV show every week. I'm like, well, better watch it. Oh, gotta watch it. Oh, gotta watch it.
That's awesome. I mean, that's the point, right?
Heck, yeah.
All right. Well, my favorite TV show of 2018 is almost unfair. It was Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix. When there's four seasons of something released in the same year,
it kind of
overwhelms your consciousness. It also is the distinction of the only show I've ever watched an entire season in a single day.
Whoa.
And it was my least favorite season of the show. That goes to tell you how great the show is.
It's actually really impressive.
Yeah. I know. That's crazy.
How many episodes were in the season?
13.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So my day was like
a baby season.
No, it was like woke up, watched two episodes, started doing chores, then watched two episodes, did laundry while watching episodes, and yeah, made it through the whole thing. And
wow!
And mind you, 30-minute episodes.
Like 6-7 hours.
It was such great science fiction. It had political elements. It was long form. It had character moments. You know, there's a big complaint amongst the fandom that one of the characters was very different at the end of the last episode, and I went, how is that a complaint? The character changed through the course of the 8 seasons. Oh my god, there was actual character growth. Yes. You know, he had went through some shit, and by the end of the show is different. He's a different person.
Which character was that?
Lance.
Really? They complained that he wasn't still his, like...
Yeah, that he wasn't still the fuckboy, you know? Like, he's actually something different at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
God, they're all so good. All the characterization... For me, that's what did it for Voltron, because I'm not a big, like, giant space battle guy. But, like, just, like, the small character moments... That bit in the final season when Hunk makes the food for the prisoners.
Yeah, and it's like that's
so good.
The perfect diplomacy is people are more likely to talk when they have food that makes them feel familiar and feel at home.
Yes.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely love it.
And it's just like a 15-second, 20-second scene. Like it doesn't good.
Maybe there's some Deus Ex Machina on the last season, but it is a wrap up. I let it go.
I mean, but that's Voltron's whole thing, is basically...
Yeah, Voltron appears.
Everyone shoves their Bayards in, and then they yell, "Form Deus Ex Machina!"
Yeah, exactly.
And then an even bigger sword comes up somehow.
Right, and it's on fire!
Yeah, you just have to... turn it extra hard.
Exactly.
Especially in space, because that makes
the only the only logical conclusion it would have been to add lightning circling around it, and then we would have been
true.
You know,
we gotta
yeah, exactly. That's awesome. Go full DBZ.
Yeah. In case anybody didn't know, I have my Superman jacket on, and we just kind of zip that down.
That's actually funny. You just Superman shirt into a Dragon Ball Z shirt.
Nerdy thing I've done all year.
Well, it's a good time to do it. It's a year in review episode.
Right.
All right, Pat, you've got the number one.
Spoilers, you know, obviously have already been made, but number one for me, easy, Hilda. This for me was just, and I know, like, you guys are especially viewers at home are like, but Patrick, don't you like to just, like, sit and brood about the world and, like, everything that's wrong in it?
And not smile?
And not smile? Yes, but I also like to smile sometimes.
He's our Batman.
I am.
Which is so funny.
And apparently Batman's, like, secret pleasure is watching Hilda.
Right.
And Alfred comes in and he quickly fumbles for the remote and changes it to, like, the news. So, are you watching Hilda in here? No. Oh my gosh, but it's just such a joy, a pleasure. The animation style, I just love, like, the tone of it. Just, like... You know, everything's happy and like...
Yeah, this was my number two, and only, like I said, you know, Voltron having four seasons in 1 year was kind of hard to overtake. But there's just something about the spirit of this show and the way that it used folklore and fantasy to tie into, like, the growth of being a kid. It was just so complete.
Yeah, it really is, like... what you would imagine a child, like, playing would be if you could, like, visualize, yeah. you know, like, the floor is lava, like, watch out for the dragon, right. you know, like...
Exactly, but it's all real,
yeah, but
you
it's
know?
All real.
And, there was the aspect of... oh man, I'm losing my train of thought because I was just in so much joy while watching the show.
For me, one of my favorite parts of it is just this idea that you can really get out of most situations without, like, a physical fight. And, yeah. like, if you just, like, talk it out and, like, empathize with people, that's, like, one of the best ways to go about fighting a dragon is just picking its brain.
Right, exactly. Just having a little conversation. I have to talk about episode 10, The Storm. That, for me, completely solidified this as being one of the best shows. The one where they go into the weather station.
Yes.
Oh, the timelessness of the show. The fact that they use old technology in quotations lends itself to feeling like it's not now and it's not in the past. Like, when does this show take place? It's just a moment in time.
It could take place any time, anywhere. Yeah, and especially when she's in the woods, you know, walking around. That could be 1,000 years ago, yep. for all we know.
So,
also, still my favorite aspect is elves' bureaucracy.
Oh my god. The ridiculousness of the mini micro-elves.
All the best elf legends involve paperwork.
Oh, great show.
Great show. Oh, God. Yes.
All right, we're going to move on to the next category we have. We have our favorite movie of 2018. I think we're going to start with Pat again.
Yes, I have an honorable mention in this one, too. This is Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs. I love dogs. I love dogs.
All right, over there.
Are you crying?
No, I'm not crying. You're crying.
Really? You were
really,
crying?
It's really dusty in here.
Continue what we were saying about it.
Oh, I was just going to say I love it. Like, stop motion, Wes Anderson style. Like, come on. Like, when I saw it was coming out, you had me at Wes Anderson, so.
I was enthralled and hugging all of my pets at the same time. I just put them all on my lap and just, like, saying,
were your
there.
Cats just like, stop touching me?
Yeah. No, one of my cats just literally came and laid right in the center of my lap. It's like, I am center. I stay with you now.
This is my house.
Yeah, I was blown away by the stop motionness because there's the Wes Anderson's, I don't know what studio he works with for his stop motion stuff, but the flatness, the way that it almost is like a 2D proscenium for all of his staging. So it's not like you're not looking deep into the scene. You're like almost looking at a 2D video game.
Yeah, it almost plays like a side. It almost watches like a side scroller.
Exactly, like that's which is so fantastic and so different from something like Leica Studios, which is, you know, trying to push the envelope. This is like embracing the oddity of stop motion and the childlike nature of it, especially with like the cloud puffs that are like cotton balls and things. Like,
yeah, and then he uses, you know, yarn for a lot of like mapping stuff or whatever. Like,
we were talking about this right before recording too. Secondary action is incredible in this. You know, like characters' hair blowing or like a dog scratching its back. You know, like,
yeah,
this is the things that happen in the background while there is stillness, which there's a lot of stillness in the movie too. I was very impressed with this. I just watched it last night though, so it didn't quite make my list because I need to marinate a little bit more.
I definitely saw it in theaters and then once again after it came out, so it definitely gets an honorable mention for me.
It's awesome.
So anyway, what do you have for us, Kat?
So I also have an honorable mention.
Woo!
And I honestly, once again, something that definitely kind of surprised me, kind of snuck up on me, Venom was pretty damn good. I watched that movie like 2 days ago. This is like the moment in time I'm like, this is why I don't listen to critics. Because I actually really enjoyed that film. I did not think I was going to like it because I was really salty that Spider-Man wasn't in it.
Heck yeah.
But.
I'm going to agree to disagree on Venom. It's okay. We like what we like, you know.
Yes,
like
y'all can fight after the episode.
Yeah, right. I will say my wife had the best criticism. It was 20 minutes into the movie, and she just goes, "I don't like any of these people."
That's the whole point. Though. Yeah. Nobody likes Eddie Brock. Yeah. Nobody likes that bitch. That's the whole point of this Venom.
It's tough. That's tough. It's tough to like be engrossed by something when that's your overall feeling. But I'm glad that you felt that.
I'm glad to dislike characters.
I really like the visual too. Like,
yeah, his
the symbiotes themselves were really cool.
They were fucking creepy, man. I honestly, like, I will say this. the reason it didn't end up in the, anywhere near the top is probably because it wasn't rated R. I think if it was rated R, it would have been 15 times better.
I think so too, actually. I think it needed that level of violence because there was like, they were just
on the cusp of it. And yeah. I'm assuming you watched the end. We all know who's coming next. I'm like, if you don't make it rated R, I'm not seeing this movie.
Right, it's not going to, it doesn't feel like that'll work.
No, not with that character.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other honorable mentions in that category for you guys?
Nope.
Cool. Nope. Just got the one.
So I will start with number three then, and I have The Incredibles 2 as my number three. And apparently it is higher on somebody else's list, so we're going to move to Patrick to talk about his three.
Yes. So number three for me was actually Into the Spider-Verse.
Higher on my list.
All right, well, I'll...
nobody's going to have this one, so hooray. Anyways, my number three was The Death of Superman.
Left field! Wow!
Okay. I don't like Lois Lane, but that's like the one I've made a monster, by the way. but... That's one of the movies where it's like the most, I'm like, this is the only time I probably will ever like you, ever. So be happy.
God, it is answers like this that are the reason I love doing shows like this. Because you just completely threw me off, and that is a fantastic movie.
I totally forgot that that was this year, too.
Yeah.
It was like a couple months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Rumors are that Day In, it'll be the sequel will be available on the streaming service.
God,
as well.
I hope so, because I'll freaking wake up in the middle of the day to watch it. I mean, the end of that movie, I'm just like crying in my living room, and my girlfriend's like, "You all right?"
Fine. That's one of the top adaptations that the DC.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know the story very well because I haven't read all of it, but like the bits and pieces that I know. I mean, the way that they adapted it to the newer era of comics, including the New 52 stuff, was really well done.
The fact they didn't shy away from the Wonder Woman-Superman relationship as something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That great movie, the moment with Lois in the bar, was just heart-wrenching the way that they play it out.
See, and that was the thing.
That's
like,
a great pick.
Yeah. It's like, I was looking at, I was flipping through all my movies, and I was like, oh, I forgot about you!
Awesome. Wow. Wow. I'm blown. That's what a great.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, I also your thing too is I have one that mine's up high. That's up higher for me too.
Oh, fair enough.
All right. So I'm gonna take over. My number two here is Avengers: Infinity War. This one, the more I watched it, the more I became engrossed in what this movie was doing. The fact that it's Thanos' story. The weird, like, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's also a writer, and we were talking about the fact that the main villain of the movie is Thor. Like, he's the first villain introduced, he's the primary, like, force to stopping. His goal is to find a weapon to kill our hero.
Yeah.
In the film. And it's just, like, that whole paradigm to me is insane.
Yeah.
It also has the best version of Doctor Strange we've possibly ever gotten. And this amazing, epic story that can track. I was blown away by Infinity War. It's the only movie I saw twice in theaters. I could not see my family and... not have them go see this film. I was very upset because they hadn't seen it by the time my wife and I went out there. We're going to the movies. We're going to see this film. So that was my number two.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great one. I actually just rewatched it yesterday myself. So
Sweet Rabbit.
Huh?
Sweet Rabbit.
Oh, yes. Good Rabbit. it didn't actually get me that much the first time, but the second time through, Peter's death at the end, that was... Ooh, I was,
I don't want to die.
I don't want to die.
I was definitely cutting onions for some
reason.
That's
just like an erased from existence, which I think is worse.
Right? And that's something that, regardless of what happens with Avengers Endgame, if you watch Infinity War as its own film, and it's Thanos' story with the incidental superheroes that come in, it's like, it's a complete...
Also, thing. I realized he said, Doctor Strange says it in the movie. He says, we've now entered the Endgame.
Which is the second time that term has been used in the Avengers franchise. The Endgame was also referenced in Age of Ultron, and Tony Stark talks about it when he's talking about what's the Endgame of the Avengers.
When he's
coming up with all of the robots as the
fucking Disney man.
Yeah, man. Some good stuff.
Yeah, nice.
You're up to your number two, right?
Yes, so number two for me is The Phantom Thread. Written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson.
I didn't realize that by, was this year. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was January, actually. So just so within
right
the
on
year.
The cusp of that.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, ooh. And yeah, this is, oh my God, this movie was, I don't even know what to say about this, honestly. And it's definitely not in the realm of like nerd movies at all. It's like, so weird and odd and, but Daniel Day-Lewis's performance in it is just perfect. Like, I mean, as you would expect. And he plays like a tailor, basically. Mm-hmm. And then so, like, all the costume designing in it is just beautiful. And, like, the way he talks, like, you can tell, like, he just, like, purses his lips as if he's, like, holding a sewing needle in it, like, for most of the movie.
Right.
You know, like, it's just minute details and, like, the whole plot. I don't even know what the hell happened at the end of that movie, but it was awesome.
The performances and the writing.
Yeah. I mean, I do know what happened, and there's a lot to take away from it, but, like, it's just crazy for something that's, like, such a small, slow movie.
Cool.
So a bit of an upset, but my number two is Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
Oh, Matt has that one higher still. I wonder where he has it then.
Nobody knows. Matt, what's your number two?
Actually, we're up to my number one, so yeah. I guess finally all three of us can now talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Wow. That's interesting that we all had it in our top three, just at
different orders. For me, nothing hit the emotional core the same way that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse did. I felt like there was two different ways to tie into that film as a male viewer. I don't even know the female perspective, because I feel like Spider-Gwen had to be a nice entry point. But for me, I entered as Miles and as old Peter Parker, feeling all the shit of the world that happened to you. I think this movie was real. It was visually stunning. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It was like watching a comic book, and it's going to push animation farther than it's ever been. It's rare to see something that truly feels new. This felt new. This didn't feel like something that existed before. I also like how smart it is and how it tells the audience that, you know what? You guys know comic book stuff. We're going to lean right into the skid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't bother, like, I mean, it does do his backstory and all that stuff, but
it
jokes
it was like,
about it.
Yeah,
like,
that was,
you know,
the, I mean, yeah, the whole running joke of it.
Yeah, so. Y'all know me.
So what everybody else, like, because, I mean, obviously, this is on all of our lists.
I mean, obviously, you're the animation guy, but, like, even for me, who doesn't know that much about it, I think, truly, I was watching it the same way, and I was just like, this is something entirely new. This has never been done before. Like, it's been attempted, certainly,
right,
in different aspects, but as a whole, that was, you know, I don't have the proper words to put it into, because I'm, you know, such a dummy, but it's pretty. It's really, really
pretty.
And not only is it pretty, but it's cool. It's cool and it's pretty.
It's so pretty.
Why did you have it at number two? What was it about that put it that high?
I mean, honestly, it was the movie itself. Like, I mean, when we walked out of it, for starters, my girlfriend, who always has something to say, said nothing.
Just stunned.
Yeah, she was just like, that was really good. And I was like, she's like, I don't have anything bad to say. I was like, that's new.
Right.
I took one of my roommates who's not into comic books at all, has probably seen one superhero movie in general, like, overall, and we came out of that, and he was like, dude, that was awesome.
No, it was a really, really good movie. And I mean, what's wrong with cartoons?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Spider-Ham, like, stole the show for me a little bit on that one.
Which is also great. Like, the right. fact that this character, who probably has about maybe 10 minutes of screen time, but,
yeah,
like,
he's, like, way in the background.
The character's emotional arcs for all of them. Even Spider-Ham somehow has an emotional
yeah.
arc in it, like, that's, like, really
his
well done.
Hammer fits in your pocket.
Yeah. I know.
Can't get over that.
Oh, God.
I mean, that that's a movie I want to go see
The
again,
humor, for
so.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to wear out that Blu-ray.
Jesus. Oh, we're going to go see it in theaters again, because I need to.
I really want to as well, but I really have to see. There's another movie that's missing from my list because I didn't see it. So, all right. Pat, you're number one.
All right, number one for me was Incredibles 2.
Which was my number three. Directed
by Brad Bird. So, well, why'd you have it at number three, Matt?
Basically, I had it at number three because...
nothing can dethrone Spider-Verse.
Yeah, because Spider-Verse exists, basically, is what that is. I absolutely love the fact that there was a 13-year gap in the production of the film, yet it literally takes place seconds after the first movie. I think the action in this movie is unparalleled, but there wasn't enough of it for me, like, compared to the first film.
Yeah,
which is unfair because the first film is an absolute masterpiece, so it is unfair to compare it to that, but it's almost impossible not to, you know. That's the thing. But it was just such a great story, and the parallel and the through line making it about Helen was just fantastic. This movie was great.
Yeah, I absolutely love the animation definitely in it. There's like little subtle things that, like, especially during like the motorcycle chase sequence, mm-hmm. like the way they animated her motorcycle was, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they did. But, Fantastic Four, the Fantastic Four with that one.
Yes, they totally did. And, but for me, it was the whole, screenslaver, man, as a villain, screenslaver, absolutely stole this show from, even for me, I think, Killmonger mm-hmm. as a villain.
Wow!
Yeah, which is one of the reasons that Incredibles made it onto my list, but Black Panther didn't. Because the whole thing her talking about watching superhero movies and how that just makes us, you know, apathetic as a society, and what does this do while you're sitting there watching a superhero movie? And you know, it's more subtle than that. There's like all sorts of different,
the movie's very smart.
There's so many different like thematic layers going on mm-hmm. during it, and there's still like the whole like semi-Randian exceptionalism like going on too, that is a holdover from the first movie thematically. Yeah. So like it's 13 years, like, you know, they were probably like, well, they're expecting something good, so we gotta give them something good. But this was, oh my gosh.
Great. Yeah. Great, great film. So all right, Kat. Okay. Number one.
It was Aquaman. I was thoroughly fucking surprised.
Jesus.
All right, so round two of judgment, but I was 12, so let's all keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. my mom, this all ties in, my mom got me Revenge of the Sith for Christmas, and I watched that on Christmas morning, and it was like that feeling all over again watching that movie. It was fucking insane. If Aquaman is like that movie, I don't know why I'm not reading Aquaman comics.
Right? This almost made my list.
After watching it, I was so engrossed in that movie.
I cannot believe they managed to tell a fantasy, and not a science fiction fantasy, not a sci fantasy. This is a fantasy film in the comic book genre.
It reminded me of Star Wars. It was weird.
It's a quest movie. It's it literally is a fairy tale. I mean, the damn movie's bookended with Aquaman telling you the story of his parents' love. Like, it's his parents' love story that is your actual entrance. It's literally a story being told.
As well, the hero's journey.
Yeah, as well as the fact his armor was fucking amazing.
Well, and his armor was, once again, it was like part of the quest. Well, it's like, the hero needs his armor to be the hero.
It literally had everything that I love in a movie. I can't not.
This was, for me, DC and Warner Bros. Leaning into the skid. They were saying, you know what, let's make a movie that is celebrating the oddity and the weirdness and the unrealistic nature of comic books.
As well as the fact of how colorful it was.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I was just like, ooh, pretty colors.
See Aquaman, see it for yourself, that...
It is not like the normal superhero movie.
It's I'm going to have to go see it now. God damn it, if both of you are talking about it.
It's not a superhero movie, and I think for a lot of people, they probably like, what the fuck did I just watch? And I have an idea with that just from watching Aquaman and stuff when I was a kid. I knew that he wasn't necessarily a superhero. He was a king, which lends itself to over here in high fantasy.
Exactly, and that's the thing.
What is it, Mera? Her fucking power, like, she's a dope.
Yeah, we finally got a real waterbender on screen. Yes!
Was she, like, I mean, A little bit of a spoiler when she explodes wine bottles and is like screaming. Oh my god!
Yeah, I thought Mara stole the
that
show.
That was beautiful. So. Oh, that, their entire relationship. I was like, this, see this? This is how relationships really are. None of this like bullshitty, lovey-dovey crap.
Alright. That's definitely not a movie for everyone, but no, boy, it's not. What
but
a
it's,
time.
I will, like I said, I will say if this is, if you're going to see a superhero movie, do not see this movie.
Wrong mindset.
Yeah, wrong mindset.
Super wrong mindset.
Because it's
Lord of the Rings underwater.
It's more like The Hobbit underwater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Less earnest, less like...
The Hobbit underwater.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
If we're going to do film comparisons.
Okay,
yeah.
So. Cool.
All right. Let's move on to biggest pop culture disappointments, and I guess we're going to leave with Kat.
Yep. So my honorable mention for my biggest disappointment this year is the fact that... Marguerite Bennett moved on to bigger and better things, and I'm not upset, but DC did not replace her as a writer, so Batwoman came to an end, and I still have no Batwoman.
Oh no.
That's sad.
I am sad. Because that's like one of my favorite characters.
She's a great writer, too.
Oh my god, so much.
Yeah.
Alright, round two.
Alright,
round
so
three. I don't know where we at.
I'll start with my number three. This is just the rise of gatekeeping culture for me was an absolute disappointment.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad this year.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick statement. We're all allowed to love what we love. We need more people loving things and loving it outright. So don't chastise people for loving stuff and embrace others like
you. That's right.
I love
Aquaman. You shut up.
Exactly. Exactly. And you love Venom, and that's, you know, that's
you love Aquaman and Venom. Like, I can give you crap for it, and I will, but like,
but in a conversation.
But no, but you know.
No, I totally understand.
It's not that you're wrong. It's just that
what Matt's saying about Venom. I totally see it. My thing is like, the beginning part of that movie is hard to get through, but once you get the symbiote literally talking shit to him the entire time, I'm so happy.
Oh, see, it's fine. I mean, I showed you that thing where the guy was gatekeeping Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Right? The tweets back and forth.
Yeah.
Where some guy was like,
how do you gatekeep a person?
It's a long story. I honestly don't want to spend too much time on this stuff just because
that makes me so
it's
sad.
Frustrating. Though,
yeah,
it is really. What's your number three biggest disappointment?
Number three for me was Anthony Bourdain. Actually, I didn't even realize how much he like really meant to me until he died.
Yeah,
and then
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's wow. He. Not only just as a chef, because I cook and I like his work as a chef, but like as a human and a person and like a journalist, just an absolutely marvelous human being. And those are always the ones that leave too soon.
Super. What's the word I'm looking for? Shallow right now. Looking at my stuff after that.
That will tie into something that is higher for me on disappointments.
So yeah. I think we might have the same one actually. A little bit higher.
That'll be an interesting conversation.
What's number three for you then?
All the announcements for the live action, and I will use quotations. Everybody, you can't see them, but I made sure I enunciated them correctly. So I get no arguments of the Disney movies. I don't want, and they're like, here's Lion King, here's Aladdin, and one of those movies I'm okay with, but they're literally doing the same exact story for all of them. So I'm just kind of like.
Yeah.
If you did a Scar perspective one, I'd be super game.
Oh, that's actually like that's a really cool.
If you
cool
did like it, it was like I said,
Maleficent.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you did something where you flipped it on its head and you could see why the character turned into what they were,
mm-hmm.
I'd be so game for that.
You just made me think about like a Nala movie where it's like,
yeah,
you know, she's wandering, thinking that her king is gone, you know,
and just
like,
you know, stuff like that. Give me a new perspective on something if you're gonna redo it. Don't give me the same like Beauty and the Beast. Cool, we're done. We're done with doing this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, we're gonna do Lilo and Stitch too. I'm like, get out. Just
get out. They're doing Lilo and Stitch?
They said that they want to do Lilo and Stitch.
I know, like, there's some stuff for me that's just like, why? And that seems like another one. It's like, why?
Yeah.
I mean,
at least
that
one can be live action.
I,
you know,
I will
there's actually
say
people
this.
In the movie.
They said they wanted to do The Mermaid and they were talking about doing Lady Gaga as Ursula. That is the only one I will have my ass in a seat for because I am in love with her.
Actually, I would see that movie. You know what? I'll probably see all of them. And it's
I will too. I have the fundamental rule: if I haven't seen it, I can't complain about it.
And it's the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yep.
Like whether or not this actually works.
Yeah. So that's kind of my biggest thing is I do a different rendition of this story. Don't give me the same exact story. So I'm like, I can go watch Aladdin on my
All right. I'm going to go with my number two. This is going to be controversial. DC Comics. DC Comics Indelible was a disappointment this year. They've truly moved away from the lightheartedness and the joy of rebirth. They're putting the tights back on characters, which to me just feels like a defeat in advancing the way that the characters can move forward over time and how mythology works and how things change. The bleakness of the storytelling.
I think that has to do some probably portions of it is gatekeeping though as well.
Maybe.
Which sucks. And the way I've explained it to people, if you can't gatekeep comics, you will kill them.
The other part of DC Comics, too, is the fact that the miniseries have totally eclipsed their ongoings. And I think that that's just to me, DC, the way that Rebirth, with how positive it was, and where we are now, it's, to me, it sucks. So
I think a big thing, too, and I have this actually as one of my biggest disappointments, but the fact that they, like, especially with Black Label, were trying to go to do something that they'd never... to be more experimental and to be more out there, and then instantly take that step, like, one step forward, 20 steps back. With the Brian Michael Bendis controversy too, about that.
I forgot about that. Yeah. But, I mean, there's, and you're right, there's only a couple DC, ongoing titles that I actually read. And it's not anything that people necessarily write home about. I mean, for me, I like them, but...
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
All right, Pat, you're number two?
Number two for me was Nightwing New Order number 6.
Oh, was that this year?
That was this year.
Oh my god!
It was January, actually.
Oh god, no.
This was...
It came back.
Yes, it did. I know, you thought it was gone, but
I thought it was dead.
Oh. Yeah, but just like Superman rising from the ashes to end the story, this will come back too. Just, this is an example of what you can do when you just write yourself into a hole.
Oh,
like, write the bar too high, and then you don't know how to end it. Just, I don't know. We talked about this plenty.
Boo.
Bad ending. Boo.
All right, Kat.
So, my second one is San Diego causing all other cons to be renamed because of their case with
Jesus Christ. I forgot
Fun
about
fact,
that too.
In the middle of August, they have managed to make Utah pay them $4 million in legal fees.
Jeez.
Denver Pop Culture Con this year, right?
Yep. Denver, 2019. All of them have been renamed because they don't want San Diego to come after them. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I hate to tell you, out of all the cons, you are the biggest pop culture one, so way to ruin my day.
I know. Considering all of the big trailers get revealed there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because that case ended at the end of the year, and then I was kind of flipping through stuff because I was curious, and in the middle of August, they're like, yeah, you have to pay them $4 million. They wanted $5 million, but, you know, they won.
Jesus Christ.
You know, the fact that they're trying to board up other cons that people can afford to go to and go and see is really the most messed up thing I can think of. Wow. If that's not gatekeeping from hell, I don't know what
right.
it is.
Right, in a broad scale. All right, we're going to... I'm going to move on to my biggest pop culture disappointment was the deaths this year. We had Anthony Bourdain, Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, but the one that got me, and I didn't think it was going to, was John Schnepp. John Schnepp, if you don't know who he was a content creator for Collider, specifically Collider Heroes. Mm-hmm. He was one of the directors for Metalocalypse. He directed the amazing documentary The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? Which is the highlight, like, talking about Tim Burton and Nick Cage's Superman movie that was in pre-production costume fittings and never happened. He was in pop culture. He's the man who coined the term sweaties. He was the king of the sweaties. And if you don't know who he is, go on, find his stuff. He has an amazing rant review about one of the Transformers films. And I don't want to talk about him anymore because I will just start crying. So we'll move on to you, Pat.
You already mentioned my number one, actually, which was Stan Lee. Once again, I didn't even think it would affect me as much as it did. Like, I'm not, honestly, a big fan of his writing. I think it's a little, like, it hasn't aged well. But, like, just what he's done for everything, not just comics, not just pop culture, but culture in general.
See, that was the one thing I will say, is I don't know how, it didn't make my list, and I didn't think about it, mostly in the fact because... his death showed me that we can actually come together as a culture as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bill Maher attacked things, and
Everybody
came after him. And I'm like, shows me that I'm like, end game, we can't be unified. And he showed me that in his death. So it's weird. So it's like an oddly really bright silver lining. It's really interesting.
And that's awesome because that's exactly what he stood for too as a person, is just to come together and have a fun good time. And don't worry about, Bill Maher's of the world.
All right. And with mine's going to sound super shallow, but I'm still salty about it. It was the Nutcracker in the fourth realm. I'm still salty about that movie. I am still super salty about that movie. And that's probably, my God, just don't. It was such a pandering thing. It was like, girls can science too, and look. And I'm like, nah, please stop. Just stop. End this movie now. I don't want to participate.
All right. We have two more categories left in this episode, so we're going to kind of rush through them. I apologize, listeners, but that's just going to have to be how it is.
I think we can get through some of them pretty quickly.
Yeah. So we got best pop culture surprise. We're going to go move into the positives now.
Back away from the sadness and saltiness that I have.
So does anybody have an honorable mention in this category?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So my number three is Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which is higher on some other lists. So Pat, what is your number three?
Yeah, that one's actually number two for me. Oh, nice. But my third pop culture surprise was Titans.
Higher on the list for me. Oh, so, wow. Kat, okay. What is your number three?
Sharing, because no one will have this. So my number three, because super nerd, and after my Superman into my DBZ shirt, perfect timing. The announcement of the Broly Dragon Ball Super movie, because it makes Broly a canon character, and he's literally my favorite. He's like my all-time favorite villain.
We get to see that next month.
Fuck yeah.
We get to see it next month.
Nice. Awesome.
All right. My number two is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid.
That was so awesome. Like,
I did not think they were going to have a multi-line crossover that hopped time and universes, and it was actually going to work. Who knew?
I don't even know how they made that work.
And I'm 100% on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from the end result of that.
Yeah, Power Rangers, who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? All right. Pat, you're number two.
Number two for me was the Flight of the Conchords put out their first stand-up special in 10 years. So they've just been, like, all over the place. If you don't know, they're a comedy duo from New Zealand. It was just hilarious. Like, I wasn't expecting it at all, because they haven't done anything together. And then it just dropped one day, and it's hilarious. It's one of the funniest things ever I've ever seen. Just all around great. If you can, definitely watch it. It's well worth it.
Nice.
Kat?
All right, number two, and you'll only know it if you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but listening to Al Roker pronouncing him announcing the Goku balloon coming around, he didn't even pronounce the company correctly. He called it Funimation. That made my Thanksgiving day. Like, I wasn't even upset, like, angry nerd. Like, how dare you? It was just hilarious.
It was just funny.
When he started with, and from Funimation, I'm like, oh, damn it, go farther. And then he made sure he would
find it. Oh, gosh.
All right. Number one is Titans.
Wow.
From the worst trailer ever to one of the most inspired and intriguing and ambitious TV shows. Like, it just really super developed, and I did not think I was going to like this show. And
I hate
the ending, but I'm so ready for season two.
We should go back and listen to, like, we were ripping it apart, all the trailers.
I feel so bad for Anna Diop, because she did such a fantastic job as Starfire, and that
never her that we were upset about. I think for us as a group, because we know better, we were upset about the costume design.
Right.
We were like, why did you do this?
Yeah. But it totally works.
But yeah, it works so well. It's oh my God.
Yeah, you had this at three, right?
Yeah, this was number three for me, because of the same reason. I was super skeptical about it, and then it just absolutely blew me away. It didn't make my favorite TV shows of the year, but, like, my level of interest of it was probably the highest, went from the lowest to the highest.
Cool. What was your number one?
Number one for me was Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Actually,
funny.
If I'm talking about, like, levels of expectations, I hated Teen Titans Go before I saw this. I had such beef with it for what it did to, you know, the OG Teen Titans. And then after going to this movie, it absolutely 100% changed my mind 360 about the whole franchise in general.
One of my favorite cinematic experiences, seeing the movie with you two.
I know, that was...
None of us knew what to do in that
movie. Crying, laughing.
Just, oh my god, it was amazing. Once again, went from hate to love just right away. It is crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, what's your number one?
If this shocks anyone, I'll be depressed for all of you, but the 80-year celebration of Superman, that was like the best day for me. Nice. I was like, yeah, nobody hates Superman today.
I get Batman next year, so.
Yeah. Oh, God. Something to do with it.
All right, well, we have one more category. We're going to switch things up a bit. We're just going to go 3, 2, 1 each, and then we'll talk about our number ones so that we can get through the episode here. The final category we have is the best comic book publisher. My list is, I have DC Comics at number 3, Image Comics at number 2, and Marvel Comics at number 1. Pat?
I have Image at number... I have Boom at number 3, Image at number 2, and I didn't want to go all DC, so I just put only Vertigo as number 1 for
only
me.
Only Vertigo.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So my number 3 is Marvel, number 2 would be Image, and then number 1 was Boom. And it was mostly just what they did to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because they somehow made that work, and I don't know how.
I had Marvel at number 1 because, well, Thor, Venom, Shuri, Cosmic Ghost Rider, Black Panther, X-Men Red, bringing back What Ifs, Uncanny X-Men. They put the right people on the right books. The new Amazing Spider-Man run. Say what you will about C.B. Sobolski, he made the right decisions editorially. What did you have at number 1? It was Vertigo?
Yeah, number 1 I had Vertigo. So just, this is DC's new line or whatever, and I feel like everything I've read out of it is like specifically targeted at me as like the target audience.
So
nice.
Like, you see this guy here? You see this guy in this photo? We want to write towards him.
You're like, if it's racism or sexism or political entry or like politics or whatever, well, it's all in Vertigo and it's all for Patrick.
Nice.
And it's like, thank you.
Did you want to say more about Boom?
I mean, not really. Just most of the stuff like I would randomly pick up from them was great. And
Sparrowhawk.
Prism Stalker
was Image.
Is it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Image would be the other one, too. Where you just
Lucy
pick
Dreaming,
most,
I think,
most
was
of
also.
Stuff from Image I picked up, and I'm like, this is really good.
Yeah. Firefly relaunched the series.
Yeah. But, I honestly...
Coda. Oh, excuse me. Boom Studios had Coda.
That's right. Wow, they've been just
But, I mean,
it.
even I just had Boom and Image, because even Marvel and DC, because Marvel, it's like, I would read stuff, and I'm like, no. No.
Gotcha.
So... DC made me sad.
Well, sorry that we had to rush that last category. Join us again in episode 2 where we're only going to talk about comics.
Hell yeah.
Catch you soon.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.